I preached a sermon called The Whole Point of Romans. And we nailed that down in one Sunday. And if you were here last week, you got it, hopefully, if you were paying attention. If you were not here last week, you might want to go back and listen to that listen to that sermon. But the people who were here last week who got the point of the whole book, but who are not here this week, are going to miss out on a very, very important lesson of how to live out the whole point of Romans. We talked about Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, what? The just shall live by faith. And you know, I read this as a youth. I read this as somebody in college. I read this as a layperson. I read this as a pastor. I read these verses, the just shall live by faith. And there's very similar verses, many of them, that are very similar to this, walking in the Spirit, different things like that. And I always wonder, it's like, okay, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to live by faith. How do you do that? Right? Like, how do you actually do that? How do you live that out in your daily life? And it's probably, I don't know, 4 years ago, came across this passage that we're on today. Romans chapter 1, 18 through the end of the chapter, but specifically chapter 1, 18 through 21. It seems as if Paul makes this statement, the just shall live by faith, and then totally changes the subject of the conversation, right? Because all of a sudden he goes off on the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. It's like, hold on a second, Paul. You were just talking about the just shall live by faith, and now you're going off on this tangent. And Paul does sometimes go off on tangents. He chases a few rabbits here and there. But I actually, after studying this passage for a while, I started to realize that actually Paul is answering that very question. How do the just live by faith? But he's not answering it in a positive. He's answering it in a negative. He's telling us how not to live by faith. And so, the just shall live by faith. And we're gonna read this one, 18 through 21. But the first point that Paul is going to say that we, in order to live by faith, the first thing that we must do is glorify God as God. Romans 1, 18 through 21. Let's read. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because, this is why they're without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, we know that phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Paul is appealing to that very same concept. He's saying, if God isn't happy, nobody's going to be happy. Why? Because the wrath of God, God's anger against unrighteousness, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When we do the wrong thing, God gets upset. And that's very understandable. Is anybody of the opinion that evil should not be punished? What's that? Yeah, some people do have that. Is anybody in here of the opinion that evil should not be punished? Is anybody of the opinion that my evil shouldn't be punished? We're all there, right? yeah, that guy's evil should be punished, but hey, go easy on me. I'm a good guy. A lot of times we confuse God's wrath with evil itself. When we see the judgment of God that causes discipline, it causes hardship, it causes pain, and we think, oh, it's too bad that those people are going through pain. Sometimes we even join in this idea of suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. We don't even realize it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, that's us, we are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Here's the point. Point one, glorify God as God. Here's why. Because God is the Creator. He made you. He made the rules by which govern whether or not you are going to be cursed or blessed. And each one of us has made the decision in our life at one point or another to reject God's desire or authority over our life and to do what we wanted to do instead of what God wanted to do. We see that in Adam and Eve, where God told them not to eat of the tree. They ate of it anyway. And God, because of their sin, cursed His creation. And because of God's curse against sin, God's wrath is revealed. And now we see that not only is God going to punish evil, but none of us, there's not a single person alive today who have a good excuse for doing evil. Not one of us can stand up there and say, well, wait a second, God, I got this really good excuse. My brother made me do it. Right? Or the dog made me do it. Or whatever. I mean, as parents, we hear some very creative excuses. And, you know, they're creative. They're not that great, but they are creative. The first way that we can honor God, or the first way that we can live by faith, is to glorify God as God. He is God. Now, I want to say this real quickly. A lot of times we think of glorifying God as, I got to go to church on Sunday. That's how I glorify God as God. And I want to tell you, that is not how you glorify God as God. That's not even what He's interested in. Does He want you in church on Sunday? Your pastor wants you in church on Sunday. God wants your heart. He doesn't want you in church on Sunday. He wants your heart every single moment of every single day. Honor God as God. He's in charge. He's the one we're living to please. If God isn't happy, you aren't going to be happy. And the other way is to be thankful. Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I don't even have to ask. I know. Every parent has seen their child choose to be selfish and to watch how that changes them on the inside. And it's frustrating, it's heartbreaking to see this beautiful child made in our image choosing to be selfish just like their parents. And you say, man, didn't I learn that lesson? And am I not showing my children how to be sharing and kind and thankful? And a lot of times we think of thankful as in praying before lunch. God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. But on the inside, we say, God, why didn't you give me this? God, why do I have to go through this experience? God, why aren't you providing this over here? Why didn't you make me this way? Why didn't you make me better looking? Right? Why didn't you make me this way? Why am I struggling my finances? God. And over again we pour out, God, here's where you're failing me. Here's where you, God, could really be doing a better job. If I was in charge, here's what I would be doing differently. And that's ingratitude. It's being unthankful. And it will steal your joy, and it makes God unhappy with you. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts. The moment we turn away from God is good, God is kind, God is loving, to God, you really could have done better, it changes our heart. It darkens our heart. How does the just live by faith? They believe in God and they honor Him. And they are thankful, even in times of discomfort, even in times of pain. They choose gratitude. What about the fool? The fool lives by suppression of truth. They have the same truth. They know the same things. And instead of honoring God as God and giving Him thanks, they suppress that truth and they become futile in their thoughts. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And it doesn't take much to turn on the television and see perfect examples of where people have suppressed truth, and it's darkened their heart, it's darkened their understanding. People who should be wise, who should be smart, but say dumb things. But because they're futile, their thoughts have become futile because they have suppressed the truth. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Now this passage here is a passage that some people used to say there are no atheists. There are no atheists in the world today because everybody knows that there is a God. And the atheist says, well, I don't believe there's a God. How can you say that I know that there's a God when I don't know that there's a God? So is it true? Do atheists exist? Do atheists exist? And here's the simple answer. The atheist is the person who has rejected or suppressed the knowledge of God. They look at the same sunset that we do. They know perfectly well about how the solar system orbits. They know about how our body is intricate, perfectly designed. They have all the same information, but what do? They suppress the obvious conclusion and say, no, this was just all put together by random chance. Even though random chance has never produced anything like this, ever again, or will it ever, but they suppress it. They choose not to believe it. And we see that all the time, right? Especially in politics, right? Somebody says one thing, and so this group believes this over here, And anything that confirms to that, they say, hey, did you see this piece of news over here that confirms our opinion? And then the people over here, they say, no, this over here. And any piece of news, right, any piece of information that confirms their opinion, they say, hey, did you see this over here? Obviously, it shows that we're true. They're not looking for the truth. And they suppress everything else because all they want is their tribe to be in power. And so the fool suppresses the truth. And he lives by that suppression of the truth. And as a result of that, his thoughts become futile, his heart is darkened, and he accepts foolishness as wisdom. Romans 1, 22 and 23 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. You know, if the original version of Romans wasn't written in Greek, you might have think he was talking about us today, right? I mean, this is just so true. It has stood the test of time. People accept foolishness as wisdom. Because of that, because their heart is darkened, because they have rejected or suppressed the truth about God, they're willing to accept anything. Anything. Point number three. The foolish are then allowed to commit foolish acts. I don't want us to forget about the very first verse that Paul starts out with, because he's making a point here. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed. Here's the thing. Many people will say, why doesn't God show himself? If God is real, why doesn't he show himself? Why doesn't he make himself more obvious? Why doesn't he write up in the sky, say, worship me, I'm God, or something silly? Paul here is arguing that God has demonstrated, is revealing himself every single day, and it's the very people who's claimed not to know God are the ones whom God is revealing himself to. But he's revealing his wrath. And the atheist says, there is no God. There's only pain and suffering. And Paul is saying, wake up. This pain and suffering is caused by your sin. But they continue to reject it. They won't take that as the answer. And so they commit foolish acts. God, when they give themselves over to foolishness, God does not restrain them from continuing in that belief system. Romans 1, 24 and 25 says they dishonor, that their foolishness causes them to commit foolish acts. One of them is they dishonor their own bodies. Romans 1, 24 and 25 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. How does that work? God, forget your program. I got a new program. I'm the creature, and I know a better way of living my life than you know of living my life. And so that's what I'm going to be about. And the lust of the heart causes us to think that something that is very foolish and very dumb is very smart. and will help us and will lead us to bliss, utopia, whatever lies Satan believes, tries to get us to believe. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature, yourself, most likely, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Not only do they dishonor their own bodies, but they also commit sexual immorality. Romans 1, 26 through 27, Paul continues, "For this reason, because of their foolishness and willingness to believe any dumb thing that they're told, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." People say, "I was born this way. I was born this way. How could you deny me who I am?" I mean, could that be the dumbest argument I've ever heard? Probably not. But it's pretty close. Has anybody ever been born with the desire to want more money? Anybody in here born with a desire to have more money? You never had that desire? Is anybody born with a desire for milk? Anybody? Is anybody born at all with any desire? No. Okay, we're all dead. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, we need to go to a different sermon here. We are born with all kinds of desires. Some are good. Most are not. I'm attracted to women, but I've committed myself to one woman, right? Does that mean I only find one woman attractive? No, that's not true. But I've committed myself to one person for life. Is that a natural desire? No. But is it a good desire? Is it a good choice? Yes. And so this idea that I was born this way with this desire, hey, I would love to have more money. I would love to go rob a bank tomorrow and have millions of dollars. But just because I have that desire does not mean it's a good idea to fulfill it. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. A passion is not good because you have it. You got to actually exercise some wisdom and say, hey, is this actually going to lead to goodness, harmony, unity, love, peace, and joy? No. And that's why it's a vile passion. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, meaning He allowed them, He stopped suppressing iniquity because they were committed to foolishness. And He said, okay, you want to go that way? Go that way, but I'm just letting you know, it ain't going to end well. It's not going to end well. And is it going well? No, it's not going well. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. All kinds of sexual diseases, sexually transmitted diseases. You know, out in California, they actually lowered the crime of knowingly giving somebody a sexually transmitted disease. Why? Well, we're going to get to that here in a minute. I'll tell you why. Number four, the foolish are allowed to believe foolish things. As we continue this degradation into sin, we start off by rejecting God as God. We start off by stop being thankful. We start to make it about ourselves. I wish I was this way. I want to be this way. I deserve these satisfactions. I deserve to pursue these passions. And then we start to think, man, God, really, he's not that great after all, right? I have all these passions. And he says, I can't continue to pursue all of them. I just can pursue, like, you know, two. Go to church and sing songs or something like that. And so they start to believe foolish things, that God is the one trying to stop them from living a fulfilling life. It's his fault. And so then they pursue the fullness of wickedness as they can continue their decline into immorality, into foolish thought. Romans 1, 28 through 31 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Why are they all these things? Because their mind is not working correctly. It's been debased. It's been, you know, it's like, you remember that commercial, This Is Your Brain, and it shows you an egg, right? And then it just splatters the egg and it says, this is your brain on drugs? It's kind of like that, except for instead of drugs, it's sin, right? This is your brain. This is your brain on sin. Or you could say your soul or your heart. And God says, okay, if that's what you want, you're not going to like it, but go for it. I'm not going to stop you. And then the fullness is this. Not only do they want to pursue the fullness of their own wickedness, they want everybody else to go along with it. They want everyone else to approve their wickedness. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now we got to stop for just 1 minute, because we are all about homosexuality and saying, oh, that's disgusting. We are all about other kinds of sexual perversion, transgenderism, all these things, and saying, that is wrong. It's evil. But how many of us would say, when we find out our children are being disobedient to us, you say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. They'll grow out of it. We don't need to train them. We don't need to discipline them. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, one of the things that we got to teach ourselves and our children is that God is just. He's not playing around. He's serious. If you want to honor God as God, you got to get serious about God's justice. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do the same, but they also approve of those who practice them. You know, one of the amazing things about the sin of homosexuality and other sexual perversions like that, the guy who beats his wife, in his sane moment, he recognizes that beating your wife is wrong. The alcoholic, when he's sober, he recognizes that, hey, this is not a good thing. But the homosexual, he says, if you love me, if you care about me, you must approve of my behavior. Not only do I not agree that it's not wrong, I'm going to say, if you think it's wrong, if you think what I'm doing is wrong, you are a hateful person. You are a bad person. because you want to judge me. No, it's not me judging you. God has revealed it to you. What you're doing is wrong. And the reason you think you can get away with it is because you've suppressed the truth. You've rejected God. Well, he's still here. And he's still in charge. He's still God. And if God ain't happy, what? Ain't nobody happy. I actually got the privilege of sharing a devotional with the kids yesterday morning. And I shared part of this message. And I had the kids repeat one phrase. And that was, make God happy. When you wake up in the morning, don't think to yourself, I need to act like a Christian today. Right? What would my wife think that I should do to act like a Christian today? What would my husband think I should do to act like a Christian? What do I need to do in front of my children to preserve this idea that we're a Christian family? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about waking up in the morning and saying, what can I do to please God today? Right? It's in the heart. If we're just acting it out, then it's not real. Honor God as God and be thankful. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I did get on my soapbox today. Forgive me for that. But Lord, this is your message. It's not mine. It's the truth. It's the truth that each one of us need to hear. The reality is that oftentimes in the morning we wake up, we have complaints. We have frustrations. We have wants and desires that we allow to fill our mind. We hold on to them. We think about them. We meditate on them. Instead of meditating on you and your goodness, your generosity and your love, and allow that to be the spirit with which we engage people in this world. Lord, we are guilty of holding on to a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of fear, frustration, disappointment, regret. And Lord, you want your people to be people that forgive. You want your people to be people who let go of the past, to live in the moment, to live in worship of that light that we've been given. So Lord, I pray that you would help us, give us your spirit to strengthen us as we go throughout each day. Let us honor you as our God. Let us live in your presence, not just our actions, but our thoughts, our heart. Let us be for you and no one else. And let us practice gratitude. Every sin starts with a lack of gratitude or a lack of honor to you. So Lord, let us get good at those two things, and we will not fail to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.